Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Bill Curtis.
And I'm Peter Sagal. Every 4 years, the two great parties get together in solemn assembly to show off the ridiculous hats they've been collecting in the intervening years. We'll ask about the issues, the speakers, and the furniture they have been speaking to. Plus, legendary musician Bonnie Raitt comes on to play our game, and Bill Curtis, filling in once again for Carl Castle, warns us he is getting tired of being our scorekeeper on the side.
If you like it, you better put a ring on it.
We are ready to commit to you if you feel the same way, but not until after this hour's news.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. The presidential candidates are working for votes on this first weekend after the political conventions are over.
Good to see you guys. So is this a regular? Yes.
President Obama talking with supporters in Florida. He and Republican rival Mitt Romney are jockeying for position in key battleground states. NPR's Allison Keyes has more on what the candidates are up to this weekend.
On Saturday, the president stumped in the battleground state of Florida, where he's doing a two-day bus tour. He begins Sunday at the Florida Institute of Technology, then moves on to the Palm Beach County Convention Center before heading back to Washington. Romney was in closely contested Virginia Saturday, first at a rally in Virginia Beach and later at a NASCAR race in Richmond. On Sunday, he'll appear on NBC's Meet the Press. Romney criticized the president over upcoming cuts in the military, and President Obama says Republicans are dead wrong to call this a nation in decline. Allison Keyes, NPR News, Washington.
Powerful storms in the mid-Atlantic states and the Northeast created at least one tornado on Saturday that touched down in a beachfront area of New York City. Nobody was hurt. Damage was minor. Further south, around Washington, D.C., funnel clouds were spotted, but the National Weather Service has not confirmed that there were twisters. Thousands of people are without electricity, and some damage is reported. A tropical storm is on the move after spinning in place in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, southeast of Bermuda. NPR's Jim Hawkes says the eastern United States may feel some side effects from Leslie.
Tropical storm Leslie is moving slowly northward, and forecasters expect it to strengthen into a hurricane again. Officials in Bermuda say they are still expecting strong winds and rain as well as dangerous ocean conditions. At the National Hurricane Center in Miami, senior hurricane specialist Jack Bevin says the eastern part of the U.S. will feel only residual effects from Leslie.
There will be indirect effects on the U.S. East Coast. So Leslie is a large storm creating a lot of waves that are propagating out as swells, and those will be affecting portions of the U.S. East Coast for the next several days.
Farther out in the Atlantic, Hurricane Michael remains a Category 2 storm, but it is not considered any threat to land. Jim Hawk, NPR News.
There's an alternative peace award in China called the Confucius Peace Prize. This year's nominees include Thailand's Prime Minister, Microsoft founder Bill Gates, and former U.N. Secretary General Kofi Annan. Last year's winner was Russia's Vladimir Putin, who was cited, among other things, for going to war in Chechnya in 1999 and bringing safety to Russia. The Chinese government originally created the award in 2010, apparently to counter the Nobel Peace Prize that went to a jailed Chinese dissident. However, the Chinese government ended the prize and new organizers are awarding it. They say that they are not affiliated with the Chinese government. You're listening to NPR News. The outgoing Archbishop of Canterbury is acknowledging some of his failures in an interview with London's Daily Telegraph newspaper. Larry Miller reports these include his treatment of gays and lesbians and being unable to prevent a split in the 85 million member Anglican communion.
Rowan Williams says he has disappointed both church conservatives and liberals by failing to stop the divisions that developed after the ordination of the first openly gay bishop, American Gene Robinson. He says he should have gone to the U.S. and engaged more directly with the two sides. In his words, "I don't think I've got it right over the last 10 years." He also admits the church was wrong over its approach to homosexuality by not being at the forefront pressing for equality, yet he remains opposed to authorizing gay marriage, which he says would lead to conflict between the church and the government. Williams steps down in December. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
There's a new threat against Syrian leader Bashar Assad. It came from a militant leader in Jordan who is linked to Al-Qaeda. Abu Sayyaf warned Assad that, quote, "Our fighters are coming to get you." His militants have attacked U.S. forces in Iraq and Afghanistan. They are also blamed for murdering a U.S. aid worker in Jordan. India launched two satellites today into orbit. The Indian Space Research Organization says one was a French observation satellite. The second was a smaller device built by Japan. The organization says the launches mark India's 100th space mission. India has gathered interesting information, including a discovery of water on the moon's surface. They hope to send a spacecraft to Mars next year. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from CVS, where forever stamps are sold at the checkout counter 7 days a week. CVS sells forever stamps.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. And here's your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. We have a great show for you today. We got Bonnie Raitt, that legendary singer and guitarist, coming on later to play our game. And once again, we are thrilled to have Mr. Bill Curtis with us, filling in for Carl. Bill, the only thing more amazing than the fact you did this is that you were willing to do it again.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. Thanks. I want to represent and channel Carl Castle, who is on a cruise.
He is on a cruise. He's on a cruise. He did call in after your first show with us and said you did a very good job, and he doesn't want you to get any better, he said. Now, I am just amazed, still, listening to your voice. I understand that this is like your professional voice, though. Can you give me a sense of what you sound like just relaxing at home?
Sure. It's much different. Donna, I requested crunch berries, not plain Cap'n Crunch. Honey, you know I needs my crunch berries.
Well, if you've got a professional-sounding baritone of your own, let us hear it. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Natasha.
Hey, Natasha, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from San Diego.
What do you do there?
I'm a fine art appraiser.
Oh, really? I say this as a parent of three children who like to make art. Has anybody actually called you in to appraise the potential value of their children's artwork?
Fortunately, no.
Okay. Welcome to our show, Natasha. Let me introduce you to our panel this week. First up, a comedian you can see at the NYU Skirball Center in New York City on November 10th, Ms. Jessie Klein.
Hi, Natasha.
Next, an author, humorist, and blogger at CarTalk.com, where it's Worst Cars Week, Mr. Tom Beaudet is here.
Hi, Natasha.
And a comedian performing at the Flynn Center for the Performing Arts in Burlington, Vermont, September 28th, it's Paula Poundstone is here.
Hey, Natasha.
So, Natasha, welcome to our show. You're going to play who's Bill this time. Bill Curtis is filling in for Carl Castle, of course, and he is going to read you three quotations from the week's news. If you can correctly identify or explain just two of them, you'll win our prize, Carl's voice, on your home answering machine. You ready to go?
Ready.
All right. Your first quote is from a woman named Bianca Gamble. She was talking about her impressive button collection.
I have fishermen for Obama. I got aliens for Obama. And I got the hipsters for Obama because my son, who is 30, thinks he is a hipster.
Hipsters, fishermen, and aliens were just a small fraction of the groups being catered to where this week?
At the Democratic National Convention.
Exactly, the DNC, the big party, yes, very good. Thousands of Democrats got together in Charlotte to praise President Barack Obama on live television. It was weird. All these people gathered to say increasingly nice things on live TV. It was like the opposite, you know, a Friars Club roast. Like, I see Michelle Obama's here tonight. Here's what I love about Michelle Obama. Basically everything. Isn't she wonderful? And don't get me started on her husband. That guy, I mean, his ears are so big that he hears all our concerns and does everything he can do to make things better. The other big hit of the Democratic Convention was, of course, Michelle Obama. She came out the first night and delivered a heartfelt, passionate speech about her love for her husband. And all the time, she was pressing 50-pound barbells.
You know what? I did not believe for a second that she spends all that time with the family and does all this. Exactly. Because she would have to be working with those hand weights every day, like pretty much 24-7.
Yeah.
It was,
interesting that it wasn't a sleeveless dress she was wearing. The sleeves ripped off when she flexed.
Yeah. It's
unbelievable.
It's the only gun show that any Democrat has ever attended.
Right.
When Michelle Obama comes out.
You know, I did, and I know this is petty, but I think there was a reason for it. You know, the thing is about the conventions, I was there years ago, and I can tell you, there is not one thing that is not attended to. You know what I mean? It's theater. There's no real discussions. And therefore, Michelle Obama's hair sticking up kind of funny on the side was by design. I swear it was.
What side?
Humanizing.
Because it had, right, exactly. Because otherwise those arms and that smile would have been so off-putting to Americans, you know what? But for her to be able to say, I'm like you, she had to have sticky uppy hair.
You feel like that was the one?
There's no question. There's no question.
Here is your next quote. It was another big star at the DNC this week.
I was just a country boy from Arkansas, and I came from a place where people still thought 2 and 2 was 4.
That was somebody laying his folksy wisdom on the crowd on Wednesday night. Who was the big dog who got let out for the convention?
Bill Clinton.
Yes, indeed. If the DNC was like a music festival, 4 days of speeches and blather, then, you know, Bill Clinton was the Rolling Stones. He strode on the stage Wednesday night and, of course, went overtime. He extemporaneously put back into the speech all the text that had been cut out for time. But he still blew away the crowd. In fact, he came out afterwards, did an encore, just a 20-minute riff on microloans. That's what kind of performer he is. And just to prove he has still got it, he delivered the speech while simultaneously hitting on Clint Eastwood's chair. He's like, looking over and is like, nice seat you got there. He's just like,
well, it's funny because you say that because there's something about, there was the moment when he made that reference to Michelle Obama. And he was, you know, one of the great things about Obama is he had the good sense to marry Michelle. And then they cut to Michelle, and you can see that she's like slipping her wedding ring off.
Really?
Yeah, she was into it. She was like, Bill, I mean,
Are you one of those women who still find Bill Clinton very attractive?
I am the woman who finds Bill
Clinton. The only one left?
I know. I mean, I am at the front of the line.
Really?
I gotta say,
I felt a little confused during that.
No. Honestly, you'd be gayer if you weren't. I mean,
yeah. He, you know what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
You know what? I don't even like sex, and I'm attracted to Bill Clinton.
For him, you make an exception, Paul.
Well, you know, because it's good for the country.
All right, very good, Natasha. Here is your last quote.
An apple is an apple. A banana is a banana.
That was a shopper in Iowa responding to the news that what kind of food might not be much better for you after all?
Oh, gosh, organic food.
Yes, organic food. Who knows? It's pointless.
Natasha, good.
Yes.
Very good. I wouldn't have guessed that.
This devastating news about organic food explains why all the aging liberals in suburbia are pointlessly trying to kill themselves by running their Priuses in a closed garage. They're like, damn this zero emissions engine. Now, defenders of organic food say, no, no, there are still benefits. Organic foods have fewer pesticides on them, and there's the health benefits of feeling smug all the time.
You know what I do? Because in our grocery store, the organic stuff is right alongside, you know, the, I don't know, non-organic produce.
Conventional is the term.
And so I buy a little of both.
And then you put the organic stuff on top in the checkout line?
No,
so you
just
so it looks better?
No, I just buy some of both because I can't really afford to buy all organic. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like a firing squad, how there's, you know, one gun that didn't have a bullet.
Right. So you can pretend that all your children ate the healthy food.
Exactly. I say to myself, I did a good job.
Right.
There was some organic.
Bill, how did Natasha do in our quiz?
Natasha got 3 right, and she wins Carl Kassel's voice.
Yes! Well done, Natasha.
Thank you.
We want to remind everyone they can join us here most weeks at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Illinois. And also, if you happen to be in Atlanta, Georgia in a few weeks, you can see us at the Fox Theater on September 20th, along with Roy Blunt Jr., Faith Saley, and Mo Rocca. They'll be there. For tickets and more information, you can go to WBEZ.org, and you can find a link at our website, waitwait.npr.org. Right now, panel, it's time for you to answer some questions about this week's news. Jesse, the White House has been accused of leaking sensitive information. Well, this week they went ahead and posted for anyone to see and copy what?
I would like a hint.
Well, they say, the White House says, it tastes great, but the Republicans insist it's less filling.
Oh, I do know this answer. This is the recipe for the White House beer, or what kind of beer they drink?
Yeah, no, the what kind of beer they make. Yes,
they
the
make,
White House
yes,
beer recipe.
The
That's
White
the answer.
House
Very good.
Brewery.
According to the White House, the president was inspired by the home brewers he met around the country, or maybe he had to drink one too many bottles of PBR in the campaign trail and was like, from now on, I bring my own. The White House ale recipe includes local ingredients like honey from the White House garden, and the sweat of the wealthy job creators they keep imprisoned in the basement.
That gives it a nice tang.
It does. So let's sum it up. The president, we now know this week, salvages furniture from dumpsters, and he brews his own beer. Great. He's not the first black president. He's the first hipster president. Next, he's going to be riding around town in an armored fixie bicycle. They say they have no plans to sell White House ale, but in case they do, we here at Wait Wait have prepared some advertising slogans for the Obama beer.
Obama beer, the audacity of hops.
Very good. All right, hold on. That's a good introductory campaign for the next line of ads. How about these?
Yes, we can get wasted.
And
I'm going to need to see your beer certificate.
Coming up, our panelists pop the question on our Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play. And Bonnie Raitt joins us to play Not My Job. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and Progressive Insurance, with more than 30,000 local independent agents. Information available at progressive.com. The National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. And Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories, with ratings based only on member feedback. Angie'sList.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Paula Poundstone, Tom Baudette, and Jesse Klein. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Right now, even as I speak, it is time for the Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me Bluff the Listener game. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to play our game in the air. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi, this is Steve Soroff in beautiful Nottingham, New Hampshire.
Oh, wow, beautiful Nottingham, New Hampshire. Are you the sheriff there?
Very good. We have an outhouse next to the house, which I want to call Little John.
Yeah. The guy came ready to play. I admire that. Welcome to our show. You're going to play our game in which you must tell truth from fiction. But
right.
What is Stephen's topic?
If you like it, then you better put a ring on it.
When it comes to proposing marriage, these days, just getting the words, will you marry me, up in the diamond vision in front of 80,000 football fans ain't going to cut it. This week, our panelists are going to tell you about three stories of people who really pushed that proposal scenario envelope. Guess the real proposal, you'll win Carl Castle's voice on your home voicemail. Are you ready to play, Stephen?
I am ready. It has a familiar ring to it.
Ah, ha, ha. First, let's hear from Tom Baudette.
People do crazy, soul-crushing things for their one true love. Stop drinking, share desserts, have children. But 30-year-old Alexei Bykov broke the mold for self-destructive love madness by faking his own bloody death in a professionally staged car crash replete with stunt drivers and makeup artists and timed so that his dearly beloved Irina Kulikov would witness it. Alexei's reasoning, if reasoning came into play at all, was that after Irina watched him die and truly experienced what life would be like without him, she would be swept off her feet by his sudden resurrection, followed by a proposal of marriage. As planned, Irina arrived on the wreckage-strewn scene to the sight of Alexei's bloodied form in the road. As she collapsed in grief, the dead Alexei became suddenly undead. He rose and moved toward her, arms outstretched like some kind of flesh-eating zombie. She accepted his proposal without hesitation, knowing, I suppose, once and for all, that Alexei truly did love her, not for her body, but for her brains.
The guy who faked his own death in a bloody car crash just to make his proposal seem that much more welcome. Your next story of a pretty decent proposal comes from Jesse Klein.
File this under good things don't always come to those who wait. Garrett Bowman had been dating his girlfriend Poppy for 8 years when she finally gave him an ultimatum. Feeling guilty that it had taken him so long to pop the question, Garrett planned an ultra-elaborate surprise proposal involving a 2-hour balloon ride over her hometown of Bucks County, Pennsylvania, that would end with them being picked up in a horse-drawn carriage, which would then take them to a romantic hotel. Upon arriving at the airfield, they were greeted by their air balloon pilot. Poppy looked at him in disbelief. Chris, is that you? It turns out the man who would be operating their balloon was Poppy's high school sweetheart, who she hadn't seen in over a decade. For the next excruciatingly long 2 hours, Chris and Poppy reminisced about increasingly intimate memories from their teenage years, while Garrett nervously stared at the scenery below. As the balloon descended, Poppy grew sad about saying goodbye to Chris until they figured out that he also worked nights as a valet at the hotel where she and Garrett were going to be staying. By the next morning, Poppy had broken up with Garrett. Poppy and Chris published their wedding announcement this week, exactly 1 year to the day after they reunited. Poppy is now a licensed hot air balloon pilot, while Garrett is fat.
A hot air balloon proposal, piloted by just the wrong guy. Your last engaging story comes from Paula Poundstone.
Cupid didn't just strike Nick Jordan's heart with an arrow, he blew a hole through it. To ask Michelle Davin's hand in marriage, Nick Jordan tunneled into the prison where she was an inmate. Nick Jordan made Michelle Davin's acquaintance through an online site that lists prison inmates. After a brief postal correspondence, Mr. Jordan began visitation with Davin at the Correll State Women's Prison just outside of Galveston, Texas. "I guess you couldn't say we were going out," says Mr. Jordan, "because she really couldn't go any further than the visiting room. And even then, there was a wire mesh. But I think that's kind of good, because it tested our love. Anybody can fall in love in a fancy restaurant or in front of Niagara Falls. Michelle looked good through chicken wire." "I kind of wondered if he was going to ask me to marry him," says Miss Davin, "but I couldn't have been more blown away when his head popped through the grass in the exercise yard. And he said, 'Marry me and let me take you away from all this.' He's lucky, too, because the groundskeeper had just gone by with a mower." "Of course," I said, "yes. I get out in 6 months. He gets out in 4 years, but I'll wait."
All righty. Here are your choices, Stephen. One of these is a true story of true love from Tom Baudet, a man in Russia who faked his own horribly violent death in a car accident just to make his ultimate proposal seem much more piquant. From Jesse Klein, a guy who planned an elaborate proposal in a hot air balloon only to discover that he had booked the trip with his rival. Or from Paula Poundstone, a guy who was so devoted to his love that he tunneled into her prison to propose in person. Which of these is the real story in the
news? Well, looking it over, all of them are incredibly bizarre. The hot air, actually, I like that one. The other one, I didn't dig Paula's story, so I'm going to go with a hot air balloon.
You're going to go with Jesse's story of the hot air balloon. Well, we spoke to a journalist who covered this remarkable proposal.
A wealthy Russian businessman hired a stuntman, a director, a makeup artist,
oh my
even
gosh.
A screenwriter to help him fake his own death in order to test his girlfriend's love for him.
That was Nitzan Zimmerman, a senior writer at Gawker, who covered this proposal. And that is true, by the way. She said yes after this. So I'm sorry, as is now obvious, Tom had the real story. But you did earn a point for Jesse for her very sad story of the hot air balloon.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks for playing, Stephen.
Take care.
Bye, Stephen.
And now the game where we invite on significant people and ask them insignificant questions. Back in the early 1970s, a young woman at Radcliffe College faced a choice. Stay in school and get her degree, or drop out and become a legendary blues singer and guitarist. We think she made the right choice. Bonnie Raitt, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you so much, Peter. Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
So you're joining us from where you are out on tour. You've been on tour since April?
Oh, yeah. We're going all the way through November. So it's actually, you know, this is my 19th tour cycle. It takes a couple of years by the time you go overseas.
You've been doing this for a long time, as you say, your 19th two-year cycle. Is it still fun?
It's really fun. It's as close to running away with a circus as you can get. And, you know, you don't have to do as many chores as you do when you're at home.
That's true. I should try it for that reason. Is anything different now, you know, in your 19th time than it was when you started out?
Oh, you know, better hotels and a bit more comfortable bus, for starters. And, you know, better organic, kind of good cooking at the gigs. And, you know, a lot of lifestyle upgrades those Grammys did. Was great.
So you're sticking with the organic.
Oh, as much as we can.
Hey, Bonnie, excuse me for a second. Guys, let's not tell her.
Yeah. Hey, Bonnie, apparently there was some study out at...
Paula!
Oh, I saw that, Paula.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah, we were talking about it earlier, and
well,
now...
it's not... They're not necessarily more vitamins and minerals, but there's less toxics in them, so there you go.
There
we
you
do
know.
The best we can. And that way, when you have M&Ms, you really appreciate them.
Right. Has the lifestyle on tour changed? Has the quality of groupies improved, for example?
Oh, that's so funny. you know, I'll tell you what's changed is the internet has made maintaining those relationships at home much more fun and compassionate, because, you know, you can do Skype calls. It's cheaper. You can be in whatever clothes or no clothes you want. It really makes those calls a lot more... Let's call it the home a lot more fun, and that's a big change, you know.
Right.
From the first, it's fun partying when you're young, but as you get older, it takes its toll.
So in the 70s, partying with groupies, now naked Skyping, and you feel This is an improvement.
With groupies.
With groupies, of course.
They're ones you're monogamous with.
Yeah, I understand. So we were really curious and interested in your upbringing, because you became, some people say you're the greatest female blues guitarist ever, but you did not grow up in that environment. You grew up a Quaker, of all things. Is that right?
Well, yeah, but that brought me into the counterculture early on. I went to the summer camps when my dad would be touring in his Broadway shows.
Oh, I should say that your father, of course, for those who don't know, was the amazing and immortal John Raitt,
who created the star of Oklahoma and Carousel.
Right on Broadway, yeah.
John McCain.
But, you know, I'm a kid of my times, and the folk music craze was taking over when I was 9 or 10, and Joan Baez was on the cover of Time magazine, and Peter, Paul, and Mary, and Bob Dylan. I was ripe as a preteen for idolizing my counselors at camp, all of whom were exactly imitating every folkie in Greenwich Village, and I was trying so hard to get that sallow, hollow cheek look, and it just wasn't working on my little round freckle face. So, I came into it through folk music. It was just a hobby. Never expected to do it. You know, I was a cheap opening act. I didn't need a band. I could play open for James Taylor. I did a little ballads. I did a little modern stuff. And I thought it was a cool way to make some extra money during college, but the last thing I was expecting was to be offered a record deal at 20. I told the college people I'd be back in a year, and I guess that didn't work out.
You know, I was just there. They're still hurt.
That gave me the Harvard Arts Medal a few years ago. Even though I only went 2 years, it was great.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is generally true that the coolest people dropped out. Pete Seeger, Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg. That's the thing to do.
Wow.
So there you go. I'm going to go do it again. They said I could come back and audit classes and finish whenever this wasn't working out.
You see? When you were going back and forth from Radcliffe to Harvard, you know, to blues clubs, was that weird to make the transition? Did you have to stop outside before you went into the blues club and muss up your hair?
No, you know, we all had that soulful beatnik kind of long hair thing going on in the late 60s and early 70s, and that end of the business that's more rootsy in America, they call it Americana music.
Yeah.
We're the kind of artists that get a chance to age gracefully in this business. We don't sell as many records, but here I am at 62 still with a career, and if I was dancing around in my underwear when I was in my 20s, I don't know if I'd still be doing that.
Boy, apparently I made the right choice as well.
I know. I'm thinking, if you forgive me, thinking about these young singers, particularly these female singers and performers, are so carefully packaged these days. And I'm wondering, when you started out, when you were signed to that record deal, did the record company execs say, okay, we want you to do this, we want you to dress like this?
I told them, well, first of all, Warner Brothers was a small label there. I had Randy Newman and Ry Cooter, and they said, fine, you know, we'll pay for your records and the other kind of non-commercial artists we have, like Randy and Rye, we'll pay for them with Black Sabbath and Deep Purple. And that was the philosophy, was the big money makers would pay for the more artsy projects. But those days of not paying attention to how your image, with all the social media, I think, I just want to say, on behalf of Lady Gaga and Taylor and, you know, even Norah Jones doing so well, and Adele, they're incredibly poised and mature in the way that they're approaching their career, and I'm really, really impressed with this crop of, especially with the crop of women singers I just mentioned, but there's a lot of guys, even if they're being managed, they seem to be very self-aware. There's a lot more sophistication.
If I can back up, Bonnie, you said that Black Sabbath and Deep Purple helped basically pay for Bonnie Raitt and James Taylor. And so we've got, like, we can thank Smoke on the Water for, like, Love Me Like a Man. Is that
exactly
what you're saying? Oh, man.
You know, Katy Perry helps pay for all those Americana acts that don't shave, men and women.
Is that a genre, the non-shaving music?
Yeah, I think hairiness is making a big comeback.
Oh, I like to listen to adult hairy contemporary. You know, that's my taste.
That is so great.
Well, Bonnie Raitt, we are delighted to have you with us. We've asked you here to play a game that this time we're calling...
I'm sorry, did you say Bonnie Raitt?
You, Bonnie Raitt, are a multiple award-winning legendary musician. Change one little letter and you get... Donnie Raitt, who worked at the Des Moines, Iowa Metro Waste Authority for many years.
Oh, my God.
It's amazing.
I should have looked him up. We were just close to there.
I know. It's amazing what you will find when you do a typo in your Google search. So we actually called up the Des Moines, Iowa Metro Waste Authority and found out a little bit about Donnie Raitt. And we're going to ask you, Bonnie Raitt, about him, Donnie Raitt.
That is so fantastic. I was trying to figure out what you might ask me.
That's what we're going to do. So if you get two right, you win a prize for one of our listeners. Bill Curtis, who is Bonnie Raitt playing for?
Peter Jacoby from Woodbury, Connecticut.
Here we go. First question. Bonnie Raitt worked for the Metro Waste Authority for 31 years, a long and fulfilling career. What is the MWA's stated policy on disposing of old medication? Is it A, quote, mix with items such as kitty litter or coffee grounds and double bag them? B, quote, dispose of them immediately on their expiration date unless you have Vicodin, which, trust us, is always fun? Or C, quote, pour them out into a big bowl and create a fun party grab bag game?
Oh, I love that third one, but my 20s are over, so I'm going with number one.
The kitty litter. Yes, you're right. Yes,
now,
kitty litter.
And what if you don't have a cat or you don't drink coffee?
Buy a cat who drinks coffee. Next question. Bonnie Raitt retired from the Metro Waste Authority in 2008. Until then, what was his specialty? A, waste tasting. B, shaming of people who don't recycle. Or C, composting.
Oh, boy. I'd have to say the third one.
The composting. You would be right. Yes, he was the working foreman. Bonnie Raitt was at the composting center.
I'm so glad to hear somebody in my family. There's not that many Raitts around. I'm very proud. Maybe I'll call them up.
You should.
We'll talk about kitty litter and composting, coffee grounds.
Skype him, you know.
Yeah. It could be. After 31 years of working in the waste, that could be the biggest thrill of his life. Last
exactly,
question.
Especially if I'm wearing what I'm wearing, almost wearing right now.
Bonnie!
You tease.
Last question. Bonnie Raitt used to joke with his coworkers that he was really what? A, a killer robot from the future. B, Elvis. Or C, Bonnie Raitt's cousin.
Oh, I think C, but it might be sounding too puffed up.
No, it is in fact true.
All right.
And he, being one letter away from you, used to claim that he was...
I bet you we have DNA strands that are connected. There's not
possible.
That many Raitts.
It's possible, but he apparently is not related to you. By the way, we were told we wanted to talk to Donnie, but we were told he doesn't use the phone much.
Oh,
so we talked to his former colleagues about him.
Oh,
by the way,
God.
But we did find out from them that he is a fan. So there you are.
Oh, I'm so glad that you told me about him. That's fantastic.
Isn't it exciting?
How do you guys come up with this? This is fantastic.
It was really, we were Googling you, and we made a typo, and he popped up, and we're like,
God.
Well, we got nothing else. Let's ask her about him. Bill, how did Bonnie Raitt do in our quiz?
Bonnie's perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
All right. And Peter Jacoby will love you for it.
I love you, Bill.
Bonnie Raitt's newest album is Slipstream. It's terrific. Pick it up now. Bonnie Raitt, thank you so much for joining us on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Can't just wait around for what you want. It's all about the way you choose. Ain't nobody else that can make things right.
In just a minute, we get mighty boasty in our listener limerick challenge. Call 1-888-WAIT-WAIT to join us on air. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations, and Chevrolet, maker of the Volt, stories and testimonials from Volt owners are available at ChevyVolta.com. The Poetry Foundation, celebrating 100 years of Poetry Magazine, online at PoetryFoundation.org, and Esurance, offering Express Lane, a tool that looks up vehicle information when getting a car insurance quote, at Esurance.com. We'll be back in a minute with more of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me from NPR.
NPR and WBEZ Chicago. This is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm legendary anchorman Bill Curtis, filling in for Carl Castle. We're playing this week with Jesse Klein, Tom Beaudet, and Paula Poundstone. And here again is your host at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago, Peter Sagal.
Thank you, Bill. In just a minute. Bill violates Starfleet's rhyme directive in our Listener Limerick Challenge. If you'd like to play, give us a call at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Right now, panel, some more questions for you from the week's news. Paula, the Bic company, makers of disposable razors and pens, has gotten a lot of attention recently over a somewhat controversial new product. What is it?
Give me a hint, because I got no idea.
Well, the ink is strong enough for a man, but...
Oh, they're making deodorant?
No. They don't make deodorant.
I don't... The ink is... I don't know.
It's a pen that they're making, a disposable pen like they always make.
Yeah.
But it's made for a particular group of people.
It's a pen for women?
Yes. It's called the new Bic for her pen.
Oh, jeez.
These... Now, what's happened is reviewers on Amazon got a hold of this, and they've been posting these reviews. For example, user Rachel Paris says,
I thought it was a kitten, and then some words came out. Wonderful.
And this from a reviewer named... This one is from a reviewer on Amazon named E. Bradley.
The delicate shape and pretty pastel colors make it perfect for writing recipe cards and tracking my monthly cycle.
Oh, my God. I hope they'll include my submission, which is I use it to induce vomiting, and I don't even have to stick it down my throat. Oh, no.
That's horrible. Jesse, we always follow the adventures and exploits of manly Russian President Vladimir Putin. Well, this week he outdid himself when he did what?
Oh... first of all, let me say that I've looked into his eyes.
Yes, you saw his soul.
And I saw his soul.
Yes.
And it's so this is what he did. Well, he actually did two things, but the thing I think you're referring to is he got on like a hang gliding thing.
Yep.
That's like a bird to guide some cranes to their nest, to the wild.
Yes, that's what he did.
Yeah, wow. because he's so caring.
He dressed up like an adult endangered Siberian white crane, and he got into one of these ultralight planes, and he tried to lead a flock of orphaned cranes on their migration so they could learn the route.
Yeah. Right? I feel like until you confirmed I was right, everyone's like, Jesse's having a stroke.
Exactly. He did this. There are photographs. He did this. It's amazing. Putin is dressed all in white to look like a crane. He flew this plane. You know, the cranes are behind him. Unfortunately, on the first try, only one young crane decided to follow the weird guy in the white crane suit, so Putin had the rest of them jailed. Tom, the party conventions, of course, sent the fact-checkers into high gear. And one thing we learned is that GOP vice presidential candidate Paul Ryan absolutely did not tell the truth last week about what?
Well, to narrow down to just one thing, it would be probably what you're asking about is his marathon time.
Exactly, yes. Right, his marathon time. Paul Ryan, who is known as the most physically fit politician since He-Man, City Councilman of the Universe, was on a radio show and said he ran a, quote, 2-hour-and-50-something-minute marathon, unquote. Turns out, Mr. Ryan has run only one marathon, and he ran it in a little over 4 hours. Now,
wow!
For those of you who do not run marathons, the difference between running one in 4 hours and running it in 3 is like the difference between getting a 2400 on your SATs and being able to spell SAT.
Well, he totally lost the runner's vote.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I have to say that his excuse was rather plausible, that it had been so long and he doesn't really pay any attention to it, and that he couldn't remember what his time was, so he threw out what he said is, I threw out what I thought was a normal time.
Right.
And really not knowing that 2:50 was like a completely killer time. And I get that. I mean, although I'm married to a woman who runs marathons, so I would have known the difference, but if I wasn't married to a woman who runs marathons, I probably wouldn't.
Okay, but he ran the marathon.
That's the thing.
But like 20 years ago.
I run marathons, and everybody I know who runs marathons is incredibly vain about their time.
Yeah.
Or ashamed of it. But they know it.
Yeah, you get obsessed with it.
Yeah, it's the whole point.
That's, to me, I'm still very obsessed with what I got on my you brought up SATs, because when you take your SAT, you're obsessed with it.
Right.
So I will never forget what I scored on my SAT, 1180 the first time, 1310 the second time.
Here you go.
I didn't study hard enough the first time.
I don't remember my SAT score. And if you ask me what it is, I might throw one out that seemed normal. Like, I think... Yeah, I probably got like a 2300, you know. Something.
I was like,
really
I don't know how I did in school. I got like a, what do they call those, a Nobel Prize? Coming up, it's Lightning Fill in the Blank, but first it's the game where you have to listen for the rhyme. If you'd like to play on air, call or leave a message at 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Or you can click the Contact Us link on our website, waitwait.npr.org. There you can find out about attending our weekly live shows here at the Chase Bank Auditorium in Chicago and our upcoming show at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, Georgia on September 20th.
Hey.
Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi.
Hi, who's this?
This is Kathleen.
Hello, Kathleen. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Gainesville, Georgia.
What do you do there in Gainesville?
I actually just live in Gainesville. I work in Athens, Georgia at the university.
Oh, yeah, the University of Georgia there, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And what do you do for them?
I am a secretary, or as we like to say, administrative assistant.
I see.
What color is your pen?
Well, Kathleen, welcome to the show. Bill Curtis right here is going to perform for you three news-related limericks with a last word or phrase missing from each. If you can fill in that last word or phrase correctly on two of the limericks, you will be the winner of our game. Are you ready to play?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay, I'm ready.
You seemed surprised. You knew what you were getting into when you called us.
I know.
All right. Here we go. Here is your first limerick. Bill?
The battlefield's mist portends doom. Yet it carries the scent of fresh bloom. And no one can tell there's a gunpowder smell, because we've masked it by spraying...
Perfume.
Yes! Iran has developed a new military strategy called Deceit Perfume. It works like this. A fragrance machine pumps out a pleasant odor that masks the scent of Iranian troops and gunpowder, that sort of thing. So you can imagine, say, two American Marines, they're out on patrol, and they hear something. You know, they hear something. It's like, oh, is that Iranian troops? And the other guy's like, I don't know, but that freshly baked bread just shot me. Here's your next limerick.
You've seen me gorge food like a shark. Oh, I've heard all your snarky remarks. For reduced appetite, I'll try dimming the lights, because folks eat much less in the...
Oh, in the dark.
In the dark, that's right. There you go, another diet tip for you.
Good for you.
Turn off the lights. A new study from Cornell and the Georgia Institute of Technology has discovered the secret to weight loss. If you eat your food in the dark, you will eat less, probably because you can't find your damn food. How was dinner? I don't know. I had to settle for the napkin. It's all I could find.
So they mean completely dark? Or?
Well, they mean actually dim. They actually, this is true, they conducted the research at a Hardee's restaurant. And they took part of the Hardee's and they dimmed it. You know, the candlelight really dim and
well,
people ate less.
Of course. If you dim the lights at a restaurant like that, you get suspicious.
You know?
Like, what am I eating? But you go in really nice restaurants and they're dim. And, I mean, I eat tons in those places.
Yeah. I eat the most in the dark because I feel like if I didn't see it, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay, you're doing great. Here, of course, is your last limerick.
If my path at the firm has been dragging, it's because I have not set tongues wagging. So I'll speed up my fate by proclaiming I'm great. To get noticed, I need to be...
Oh, gosh. Bragging?
Bragging!
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Yes!
That was a random guess.
Kathleen!
According to a new study at Northwestern University, the way to get ahead at work is to brag as loudly and as often as possible about your past successes.
I really nailed that last limerick. I mean, I really read the crap out of it.
You sure did. It was impressive. While we're taking the time, Bill, anything else you want to mention?
Women want to be with me. And men want to be me.
Bill, how did Kathleen do in our quiz?
You know, I think Kathleen scored a perfect. Athens, Georgia, you are great.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much for playing, Kathleen.
Thank you, guys. It was so great.
It is now time to move on to our final game, Lightning Fill-in-the-Blank. Each of our players will have 60 seconds in which to answer as many fill-in-the-blank questions as he or she can. Each correct answer is now worth 2 points. Bill, can you give us the scores?
Jesse has 3. Paula and Tom are tied with 2.
All right. We have flipped a coin. Tom has elected to go first. So the clock will start when they begin your first question. Tom, fill in the blank. Officials said that the 7.6 magnitude earthquake that hit off the coast of blank Wednesday caused relatively little damage.
Costa Rica?
Yes. On Thursday, a federal judge ruled the police in blank can require people to show their papers to prove their immigration status.
Arizona.
Right. On Thursday, a jury in Illinois convicted retired police officer blank of killing his third wife.
The Peterson guy.
Yeah, Drew Peterson. Park rangers said that up to 10,000 people may have been exposed to hantavirus during visits to blank National Park.
Yosemite.
Right. A farmer in Germany blames the bird seed he planted for his crop of blank.
Oh, he grew some pot.
He grew 10-foot-tall marijuana plants in a bid, just the birds, in a bid to get a bigger share of the tablet computer market. On Thursday, Amazon released a new version of the blank.
I'm guessing an iPad.
No, it's called the Kindle Fire when Amazon makes it.
Oh, Amazon. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I heard Apple. Can we, like, the do-over.
Vanity Fair magazine made headlines with an article that says Scientologists held auditions to find blank a girlfriend.
Oh, Tom Cruise.
Right. 3 years after making headlines for boldly ceasing to use models in favor of real women, this week the fashion magazine Brigitte in Germany announced it would blank.
Use models?
Exactly right. Turns out, since the first No Models issue hit newsstands in January of 2010, editors have had a really hard time finding real women who are pretty enough, thin enough, and non-mustachy enough. They had good intentions. Problem was they made the announcement having never seen a real woman. And the first, you know, they're used to models. The first real woman came in, and they're like, my God, how many of you were in that dress? Bill, how did Tom do on our quiz?
Tom got 7 right for 14 points for a total of 16 to take the lead.
Well done,
Whoa,
Tom.
Whoa, Tom, that's great.
Paula, you are up next. Paula, you're up next. Fill in the blank. Pentagon officials said this week that the book by a Navy SEAL about the raid that killed blank contained classified information.
Osama bin Laden.
Right. In a court filing this week, the Justice Department accused BP of gross negligence and willful misconduct that led to the oil spill in the blank.
In the Gulf.
Right. The Dallas Cowboys beat the New York Giants in Wednesday's game, kicking off the start of the blank season.
NFL.
Right. Self-proclaimed Messiah and founder of the Unification Church, Reverend Blank, died at age 92 in South Korea. What?
Moon.
Yes, Reverend Sungin Moon. A New Jersey man was arrested for drunk driving this week after telling a policeman that his birthday was blank.
Today.
February 31st.
Oh.
This week, Bob Barker told the AP that he was totally fine with CBS's decision to exclude him from the special celebrating the 40th anniversary of blank.
The Price is Right?
Yeah. Hundreds of soldiers posted naked pictures of themselves on Facebook to support blank in the wake of his Las Vegas scandal.
Prince Harry.
Yes, fashion designer Jill Sander just unveiled her new $300 bag, which is in fact a blank.
A bag?
Well, specifically, it is a brown paper lunch bag.
Wow.
If you think the generic brown paper bag you normally carry to work doesn't do your caviar sandwiches justice, you might consider the Vasari bag. Now, $300 sounds like a lot to spend on what is a brown paper bag. Keep in mind that it comes filled with $299. Bill, how did Paula do in our quiz?
She got 6 right for 12 points, a total of 14, but Tom still has the lead.
Wow.
All right.
Bring it, Jesse.
Here's the math question. How many does Jesse need to win this quiz?
Jesse needs 7.
7.
I'm concerned because I think you've asked everything I know. Let's see.
That's why I went first.
This is for the game, Jesse. The UN announced that more than 100,000 people have fled from blank in August, the highest total since the violence there started.
Syria.
Yes, a spokesman for the family of pioneering astronaut blank said Thursday that he will be buried at sea.
Neil Armstrong.
Right. In order to avoid a conflict with President Obama's convention speech, MTV changed the time of the blank.
The VMAs.
Right. A Bank of America executive lost out in a multi-million-dollar bonus after a court ruled it was wrong of him to have blanked.
Gotten that bonus.
Mooned his bosses in a meeting.
I'm glad I didn't know that.
Actor Michael Clarke Duncan, best known for his Oscar-nominated performance in the movie Blank, died at age 54.
Green Mile.
Right. Newsman Tom Brokaw was hospitalized briefly after becoming lightheaded after taking half a dose of Blank.
Ambien.
Right. Scientists in Hong Kong announced they'd figured out they can make laundry detergent and plastics out of excess Blank.
Excess hand soap.
No, out of excess Starbucks coffee grounds and muffins.
Boo.
Sure, some people are skeptical this could work, but those people have probably never actually eaten a Starbucks muffin.
Who figured that out?
Scientists in Hong Kong.
Baristas on break.
Hey, Bill, did Jessie do well enough to win?
She needed 7. She only got 5.
Oh.
We'll subtract that from her SATs.
So, what does this mean?
This means our winner at 16 is Tom Bodett.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Well done, Tom. In just a minute, we'll ask our panelists to predict what this election's October surprise will be. First, let me tell you that support for our Chicago shows is provided by Hyatt Hotels in downtown Chicago. Booking information is at Hyatt.com. Support for NPR comes from NPR stations and the National Association of Realtors, an advocate for homeownership. More at houselogic.com/homeownership. The Pew Charitable Trust, studying the impact of higher fuel efficiency, standards, and electric vehicles on the American economy. More at pewtrusts.org. And Angie's List, with reviews on local contractors and doctors in 500 categories, with ratings based only on member feedback. Angie'sList.com. Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and WBEZ Chicago, in association with Urgent Haircut Productions, Doug Berman, Benevolent Overlord. Philip Godica writes our limericks. Our house manager is Don Hall. Our assistant house manager is Tyler James Green. Our intern this week is Caroline O'Donovan. Our web guru is Beth Novi. Engineers include Les Belarchik and Muhammad Mao. Thanks to John Zajac at Chase Bank. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced pretty much every week by Eva Walchover and Emily Ecton. Technical direction is from Lorna White. Our production coordinator is Mr. Robert Newhouse. Our senior producer is Ian Chillog, who really did run a sub-3-hour marathon. The executive producer of Wait, Don't Tell Me is Mr. Michael Danforth. Now, panel, what will this year's October surprise be? Jesse Klein.
Herman Cain comes surging back. He wins the whole thing in November. He's our new president.
Paula Poundstone.
Mitt Romney will get caught on Halloween dressed as Obama, going house to house saying, as he grabbed candy, if I'm elected president, I'm going to cancel Halloween.
And Tom Bodett.
Mitt Romney will strap himself to a hang glider, throw his dog on the roof, and lead a flock of geese through the swing states of New Hampshire, Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, and then realize too late that they're Canadian geese.
And if any of that happens, panel, we'll ask you about it on Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you, Bill Curtis. Thanks also to Jessica Klein, Tom Bodett, Paul Poundstone. Thanks all of you for listening. I'm Peter Sagal, and we will be back with you next week. This is NPR.
Support for WPLN comes from Andrews Cadillac, offering professional service and an extensive inventory of luxury vehicles, including the new Cadillac ATS, XTS, and the updated 2013 SRX. Details at the showroom in Maryland Farms. And support comes from Nashville Pet Emergency Clinic, providing emergency after-hours care when the family vet is closed. Open nights, weekends, and holidays with 2 locations in Nashville and now open in Murfreesboro. Details at 383-2600.
celebrating 50 years of community service and community support, this is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 12 o'clock.